This is Untitled MMA.
Untitled MMA, November 28th, 2017, just past UFC Shanghai. We got UFC 218 this weekend. We're going to talk Bellator. All right. We're going to talk the Bellator Grand Prix and some other stuff. I am Buju.
I am Brendan.
And I'm Bryce.
So, UFC Shanghai was this weekend. Kelvin Gastelum with a beautiful knockout of poor old Michael Bisping, my number five favorite fighter of all time. As you heard last week on the Untitled MMA podcast.
Another plug.
As far as finishes go, that was probably one of the best cards of the year.
Just for sheer finishes?
Yeah.
But, I mean, how many eyes were really on it? Because it was on 12. Fight Pass, and the main card was, like, at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, it started, like, 4 a.m. or something.
My eyes were not on it.
Neither were mine. All I've seen is the finishes from the post that I made on our website.
Another shameless plug. Check it out.
UntitledMMA.com. Yeah, beautiful knockout by Gastelum. Where's he in the rankings, Bryce?
I just had that pulled up.
Because there's a lot of people calling for him to face Whitaker next. I think that's probably a little too soon.
I feel like it is also too soon, but give me one sec. Maybe. So right now it had him at 9, and it still had Bisping at 2, so I assume then he's around top 5.
Right.
But before this fight, he got manhandled pretty good by Chris Weidman, so...
That's true.
I say you give him someone in the top 5. Well, I don't know if Yoel Romero has a fight scheduled.
Where is Jacare in the rankings?
He's right now 5th. I'd like that, too.
He doesn't have a fight scheduled either, so... I think that fits pretty well, and it gives Gastelum another little challenge there as he continues to move up.
Was Bisping's speech after the fight anything special or anything sad?
It wasn't particularly sad, I wouldn't say. He was classy about it.
Was that at the press conference?
No, it was in the octagon after the fight. I posted it because I didn't really see anybody else posting it, so I went and recorded it with the screen recording thing on the iPhone, but... I mean, he just kind of said, like, he's getting old and...
So there's, like, no regret or anything from just jumping straight into a fight?
No, he said he was having a lot of fun. He just got caught with a good shot. And then he said, Anik said, are you still looking at that retirement fight in March or is this it? And Bisping said something like, it's going to take a lot bigger shit than Kelvin Gastelum to get rid of me. So, not taking a shot at Kelvin, just kind of like, you know.
Yeah. But I definitely don't think it was a good idea after he gets knocked out to interview him in the octagon, but...
He was, like, surprisingly with it. I don't know if he didn't go all the way out or what, but he sounded very, like, aware of what was happening.
It definitely looked like he got shut down in the video, yeah. But...
And then last week we were talking about the Bellator Grand Prix. We kind of picked winners without knowing what the matchups were looking like, and, of course, the day after we release it, the matchups get released. So, the first... fight in the tournament is Chael Sonnen versus Rampage Jackson, which will be January 20th. I think Chael probably takes that one just because Rampage is old and fat and can't really go anymore, and Chael can
wrestle,
kind of hold his own there.
Yeah, that's definitely Chael's best matchup in the whole tournament. He might win that.
One thing you'll notice as I go through these is in the first round they match up light heavyweights with light heavyweights and heavyweights with heavyweights. In this heavyweight tournament where there's 4 light heavyweights. The second fight will be in February. It'll be Roy Nelson and Matt Mitrione, which is a fight I think Mitrione wins.
Yep, I agree. He is really good in the UFC, very underrated. I wish he didn't leave, but good for him.
Yeah. And then the next fight, which doesn't have an official date, but they said sometime in April, it'll be Fedor versus Frank Mir, which about 8 years too late, but this is still a fight I'm kind of excited to see.
I hope Frank Mir knocks him out. I'm not a big Fedor dude. That.
Yeah, I think Frank Mir wins in wherever it goes.
And then the last fight of the first round is Ryan Bader and King Mo, which will be in May. That's probably the least exciting fight out of the first round if I had to give my two cents.
I also think, though, it's the most competitive, honestly, because they're, like, halfway decent fighters still. Like, Bader's probably the best he'll be, and King Mo just won that tournament halfway recently in Japan.
So if they go the way that they scheduled it, it looks like it'll be the winner of Chael and Rampage fighting the winner of Roy and Mitrione, and then the winner of Fedor and Mir fighting the winner of Bader and Mo. So, yeah. I mean, the more I think about it, the more excited I get about this dumb thing. Stuff like this in MMA is, like, my favorite. Like, when CM Punk fights, or... The more ridiculous, the better for me.
The freak fights?
Yes. And I guess Bellator is the perfect spot for me. Somewhat related, I was scrolling through Reddit earlier, and I just happened to see this headline, and I wanted to read it because it's so ridiculous. Matt Mitrione admits to kicking Joe Silva in the stomach post-gallbladder surgery because he lied about the cage size. And then Dana White said, at a media lunch today, Conor McGregor is still at the stage where we don't know if he'll ever fight again. How long are we going to wait around for this guy to decide what he's doing before we move on with the sport?
I mean, the UFC is going to wait as long as they possibly can because he's just the biggest name and the biggest draw and things like that. But, I mean, honestly, if he doesn't have any announcement by, like, end of January as to when he might come back, I say you strip him.
In my opinion, he doesn't really even need the belt anyway. Does Conor McGregor need the belt to draw? No. Why can't he just go in there and...
The Diaz fights.
He can just go in there and fight the biggest names at 145, 155, and 170 and draw buku bucks anyway. He doesn't need the belt to draw, so why keep it on him?
Yeah, he's automatically the number one contender in every division he fights, and he's automatically going to get the title fight.
If he wanted, if he said, I'm not fighting unless you put me against Stipe, they'd put him against Stipe. So why not just... Why not just take the belt away from him and let him fight whoever he wants? Because that's what he's doing anyway.
But so,
pretty much,
the belt is like a symbol type of thing. Like, I have the belt, you don't type of thing.
But, I mean,
like,
he already won it, so...
But it's what does you want to keep it.
What is he gaining from fighting every year and a half and not defending the belt?
It's just one of the... I would want to keep something, even if I'm not
I understand
fighting or whatever, but still.
I understand wanting to have the belt. But he's not the. He's not an active champion. Right. How long should the UFC have to wait? You know what I mean?
I'm just saying from
I
a Conor
until January.
From a Conor's perspective, I understand wanting to keep the belt. But from a UFC's perspective, I would definitely strip it over a few months.
Can't wait around on the guy forever, especially when he's talking about going back to boxing. Manny Pacquiao called him out over the holiday weekend. It's like, Jesus Christ, when are we just going to move on?
It's going to keep happening.
All I hope is that when he does eventually fight, because I do think he is going to fight because his money won't last forever, it will. I hope it's in MMA. That's my only hope.
And that's what I tweeted. It's like, I imagine that they haven't come to an agreement with him on another fight in the UFC because of a money issue. He's asking for too much. He's not going to have it forever. He's buying a new Bentley every week, it seems like. So let him blow through his money, and then he'll come back and fight for... I guess what you'd consider top pay for other guys now, and then you won't have to worry about paying him $20 million or whatever he demands.
If $20 million is all he's asking, you better give it to him.
$20 million is a lot of money.
$20 million,
and then especially like
would be worth it
with Nate Diaz after he fought Conor McGregor. Now he wants $20 million to fight. So if you have
Diaz is on crack.
If you have Conor McGregor go in there and fight George St. Pierre, is George St. Pierre gonna want $20 million after he fights him?
Diaz might buy $20 million worth of crack. I mean,
I think he's too busy doing other things besides crack. True. And then Dana White also said today he was asked if what happens if George St. Pierre doesn't defend the 185-pound belt. He says, "I will be super pissed, and I don't know where we go from there." To me, that kind of sounds like GSP doesn't want to defend the 185-pound belt.
I don't think it sounds like that. It's just one of the questions that you think about in the back of your head, and then you want to bring it about while you had the chance to ask it. That's how I interpret it, but I guess I think of it differently.
And I'm kind of with Brendan there. I don't think it's necessarily like, I don't think he's going to defend it. I think that was simply a question from Brad Okamoto, and Dan White is like, dang, that would really suck if he doesn't want to.
I'd be super pissed. Last week, we did our top five favorite fighters. You can check it out on our YouTube and our SoundCloud, and... did I link to it on the website? I don't even know. But yeah, you can check it out on our YouTube, which is Untitled Sports, and our SoundCloud, which is Untitled MMA. This week we're going to do our bottom five, not necessarily in order, because it's kind of hard to come up with it in order. So our five least favorite fighters this week, after we did our five favorite last week. Bryce, you want to start it off?
Sure. I'm going to go with my most random name I have on this list is my last name, and that's Nick Lentz.
What?
Yeah, I know. The only time I ever really see him in any kind of MMA news, he's just really annoying and is like, ugh, go away.
All right. That's a wild one. I don't even have a comment for that.
So are you going to go next or me?
Yeah, I can go. I have Diego Sanchez. I feel like this is a hot take within the MMA community, but I've never really got the appeal that Diego Sanchez has to especially the hardcore fans. I guess he's always kind of in pretty good fights, but to me, I don't know. I've always just been annoyed by Diego. It's probably like him, his gestures he always does in the octagon where he's like fake pumping himself up, and I don't know. I just don't care for him.
Yeah, that's a good one. He definitely goes over the top, and he seems like he's – I think he's really a crazy person, so I hope he doesn't really listen. I doubt he will, but
– and maybe I just missed the height of the Diego Sanchez era, but, yeah.
Maybe.
I've just never really gotten it.
You can't say crazy people. I mean, your favorite fighter is the craziest person in MMA.
He's a different kind of crazy. Like, might be a legitimate, like, we should put him in a mental institution crazy.
My number five, I want to say, I definitely don't hate him, but I say when I watch him fight, I never find myself wanting him to win. It's going to be DC. Every time he fights John Jones, I always want John Jones to win strongly. And then the fact that there was one time when I think it was the first time they fought, you guys both had DC. And I don't know why, but it infuriated me that you guys thought he would win. Like, I thought it was, like, so crazy of your thought. So
he was
just
so mad that night.
It's brought an anger to me. He's a great person, but I just never find myself cheering for him, so I put him at my five spot.
Go ahead, Bryce. Sorry.
He was just so upset that night. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't even – oh.
Like, we kept asking him, like, do you, like John Jones that much? He's like, I don't even like John Jones, but I just hate DC.
And then I remember my phone cover or my home screen was John Jones, so that also led to the suspicion.
Biggest John Jones fan. Bryce, go ahead.
So my number four, this is, I think he's retired. If he isn't, God, I would hope he's getting there, is Josh Koscheck. Anytime he was fighting, I just always wanted him to lose. He has a very punchable face.
He's still kicking around in Bellator.
Oh, that's not good.
I feel like he's 0-2 in Bellator. I could be wrong on that. But yeah,
he's not good either.
I agree with him there. His hair kind of helps your point, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's just annoying. Then I have on my list, I just changed it. I had somebody else, but I changed it to this. Alexander Gustafsson. Let's stop acting like the John Jones-Alexander Gustafsson fight was so close. It was Jones' closest fight up until this last DC fight, but it wasn't as close as everybody makes it out to be. And all he's done since that fight is whine. I'm tired of Alexander Gustafsson whining. Get rid of this guy. I'm done with him.
He's a good top. He was a top five contender, though.
So. Yeah, he fought for the belt, and then
he's a top five talent. But yeah, you're right. Anytime I also see him, any interview he's done, he always talks about the John Jones fight. Like, man, that was close. I should have won. Whatever. Doesn't matter what he's talking about. Might be talking about the weather. Be like, yeah, it's sunny out, but I should have beat John Jones.
that division's one of the divisions where there's like three tiers. You got John Jones, DC, everybody else.
Yeah, and then Rumble was in the DC tier until he retired.
Yeah, cylinder.
And now and now it's just kind of DC and everybody else. So
pretty much.
Brennan.
My number four. My number four is Betch Correa. I say I only dislike her because of the whole build up to her in the Ronda fight, like the weigh-ins and just how she acts. It's one of the girls. She's like, oh, I want to slap her.
Betch is so hateable that she's become likable for me. Like, I hate her so much, I just have to see her fight. Her little, like, pre-fight dance thing that she does when she's getting introduced is the most ridiculous thing in MMA, and I can't stop watching it.
She just disgusts me.
I'm being nice and pleasant about this, and I would say probably her fighting Ronda would help. Like, she's fighting a fighter that I like, so that helps with it, but yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely agree that the whole Ronda build-up painted her as a supervillain, especially fighting in Brazil. And so she's very hateable from that aspect, and, I mean, she's not great.
No.
She's got a ridiculous dance, and, I mean, there's a lot of reasons that she's a hateable fighter.
She's got cake, though.
Did they fight because – didn't she say something to Ronda? She
said something about, I hope you don't kill yourself or something like that. Ronda's dad killed himself.
Would they have fought otherwise without that comment?
They probably would have because the whole undefeated thing.
Ronda called her out because Betch was undefeated at the time, and Betch had beaten two of Ronda's teammates or whatever. So that's why Ronda called her out.
All right, on to the next.
Bryce.
So then my number three, this is not going to be well received with everyone in this conversation, but Tyron Woodley. Every time he fights, it's either a first round knockout or a boring fight. And his last three fights now have been boring. I don't want to watch him. I don't want him to fight anyone.
Woodley is who I had until I put Gus in his spot. I took Woodley off because I don't really hate him. I just don't care about him, which is weird to say for a champion. It's just like, if he's on a card, I'm like, okay, Tyron Woodley's on a card. That's cool. But I also don't want to watch him fight at the same time. It doesn't really make any sense, but he's just a guy. He's just very blah.
I haven't watched that many fights to say, like, this dude's a boring fighter. You guys watched more before. Like, I remember you guys talking about his name and saying he's a boring fighter. So the only fight that, when I think of him, I only think of Lawler, so I don't think of him as the same way.
Even though you watched his three fights preceding that.
You saw the Wonder Boy fight, the first Wonder Boy fight, which ended up being a pretty good fight, but half of it was like deathly boring. The whole second Wonder Boy fight was boring. What other fights am I forgetting?
The Damian Maya, that was the most boring fight.
That was one of the worst fights.
Most boring title fight I've ever seen.
And it's always like he always thinks the world's against him, and it's not.
That annoys
me more than his fights.
That's another thing, because he's always talking about
the race card.
All that. Between that and his boring fights, he's on the list at number three.
Yeah. My next one I have is John Jones. You don't really have to explain much why you don't like John Jones, but yeah, he's sits there at number three, I guess, on my list here.
My number three, well, I think you're about to say something, but my number three is John Jones as well. I love to watch him as a fighter, but the only reason I would consider him hateable is just because he ruined his career. Like, not often do you say he may be one of the greatest, like, ever in his sport, and then he just ruined it through doing stupid action. So outside of MMA is why I say he's hateable.
I'm more frustrated with Jones than I dislike him, because he should be one of everybody's favorites, and he should be considered the greatest of all time, but because of his own mistakes, he isn't. And that's why, I mean, like I said, I don't really necessarily dislike him, but it's so frustrating just to think about him that, I mean, he kind of has to be at the top of the list of guys that you're just like, you know, kind of.
I gotcha. But my number two is John Jones. I'll just slide this in now. I'm 100% with you. Like, he's the biggest waste of talent in MMA history. Like you said, he should be considered the greatest of all time, and he's still in that conversation, even with all of the altercations he has had outside of the cage.
And then my number two is Colby Covington, a guy whose name I probably, if you told me
I
the
thought
name,
you liked him. I thought we were all laughing about what he's doing and stuff.
About a month and a half ago, if you told me to name 250 MMA fighters, I don't think I would have said Colby Covington. But the Brazil stuff, when he said everybody who's ever lived in Brazil basically is a filthy animal, it was like, all right, he probably shouldn't have said that, but it's kind of funny, and I look forward to seeing his next fight. But then everything since then, he's been insufferable. So that's why I put him on my list.
My number two is Johnny Hendricks. I would say that because...
I forgot Johnny Hendricks.
Because, like you said earlier about Gustafson, about him having the close fight with John Jones, him having the close fight with GSP, the whole controversy with that, and him not being able to make weight cuts at
all.
Hold
on a second. What did you say? Did you say Alexander Gustafson or Johnny Hendricks?
I said Johnny Hendricks, but I'm relating to what you said earlier.
Oh, I'm sorry. I spaced out there for a second. My bad.
You know what I'm saying, or should I reset?
I got you. Go ahead.
All right, yeah, so
I'm sorry.
The controversy with him and GSP, the fight, and him not being able to make a weight cut is so annoying. And I never find him interesting. I don't know why.
Yeah, he's not a very interesting fighter. When he was, like, becoming the man at 170, I mean, he was knocking dudes out in very powerful takedowns, but since then, he's pretty much been trying to take guys down and trying to hold them down long enough to get a decision.
On his rise to the belt, he was all about his right hand, or he was all about one-punch knockouts. Since then, he's become about put a guy against the cage, put him on the ground, lay on top of him, and hope for the decision. That's what cost him the GSP fight, which I do think he lost. A lot of people disagree, but I do think he lost that GSP fight because he was trying to coast to a decision win. But, yeah, I 100% agree with Johnny Hendricks being on your list. If I would have thought about it, he'd have been on mine, too.
Yeah, the man that made Buju triggered a few episodes back. Mm-hmm. And then my number one most hated is Colby Covington, like you already mentioned. I mean, the whole Brazil thing and then pressing charges against Fabricio Verdum about the boomerang thing when he probably started it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We probably won't know exactly what happened.
Right. I feel like Fabricio started it just because he probably said something to Colby about about Colby's comments about Brazil, but I feel like Colby probably escalated it.
Exactly. And I mean, like you said, he's been pretty insufferable since then because he's playing the same tune.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not good. It's not the right tune.
There's a fine balance between fun MMA bad guy and douchey trying to be a wrestling heel bad guy. And Colby Covington has crossed the wrestling heel.
Mm-hmm. He's not even very good at that.
No. My number one I have is Brendan Schaub. Everybody loves him now. He's got his dumb podcast with Brian Callen. He's so insufferable on the podcast. He flip-flops every episode. He has a different opinion of what he had on the episode before. His catchphrases stink. He stinks on Joe Rogan's podcast. He was stunk as
a fighter. We're going Sizzler, baby.
He stunk as a fighter. What's his other catchphrases? I blocked him out of my memory. Bryce, you probably know them all. I think you're a big fan.
All I know is we're going Sizzler. I love it. I
can't think of anything else. But, yeah, Brendan Schaub stinks, and I hate him.
I love Brendan Schaub, man. I would listen to a fight companion just to listen to Brendan and Joe talk. I haven't listened to his personal podcast much, but I enjoy Brendan Schaub. I don't know what you're talking about.
Stinks.
I don't know why, but on Bryce's list, I was expecting Ben Askren.
Love that guy.
What? Do you?
Wait, don't you always like rag on him about how much
Bryce hated Ben Askren for 10 minutes?
You guys gave me a crazy look. And I'm like, why did I say this?
Oh, I thought he was your number one.
No, I was saying like I'm surprised that Bryce. That's not in Bryce's top five.
Yeah. Bryce hated Ben Askren for a while because they had the same hair, right after GSP retired, Askren said something about him being the greatest 170er ever, and Bryce took umbrage to that.
Yeah, and I kind of forgot about that until you just now said it, so I'm no longer a big Ben Askren guy.
My number one is RDA. I think, I don't
Rafael Dos Anjos.
Yeah, RDA, I would say simply because he took the belt from Pettis, and then not only did he take it from him, he whooped his butt. And the way the way he carries himself, I just don't like it. And maybe ever since he beat Pettis, every time I look at his face, I'm like this. Like I don't know. It's just one of them faces. And then I'm gonna stop talking.
Some of the annoys me about Dos Anjos is how he just recently. He was whining that he still owed a Conor McGregor fight when he's the one that didn't show up for the Conor McGregor fight.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but that would be annoying. But all in all, I kind of like RDA.
He's just what
because you hate Pettis.
I don't.
Biggest Pettis okay. hater over here.
I want this to be known. I want to put this in the airspace. These two seem to believe that I'm the biggest Pettis hater.
I'm a neutral party here. Don't let me into this.
You agreed with it for at least a long time.
I egg you on. That's for sure.
Anthony Pettis was not in my list of most hated fighters. I want this to be known.
He's at least not the five most hated. He might be number six, though.
Yeah.
Undetermined.
I don't dislike him as a fighter. At times, he's interesting, but lately, he's just a bum.
Say and there's I wanted a RDA
to beat him when he did.
Say there's a line right down the middle of the UFC roster. The guys above the line you like, the guys below the line you dislike. Do you put him above or below the line?
Can I put him on the line?
All right, fair enough. And then UFC 218 this weekend. Bryce, who's going to be there?
We are?
Yes, that was the correct answer.
100 points.
We are picking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 fights for this card. All the listeners at home just got to listen to me miscount. First fight we're picking Yancy Medeiros and Alex Oliveira. Medeiros is 30 years old, 14-4-1 in his MMA career. He is on a 2-fight win streak. In his last fight was a TKO win over Eric Silva in June. Alex Oliveira is 29 years old, 18-3-2 in his MMA career. He is on a 2-fight win streak. 4 if you take away his no contest against Tim Means, and his last fight was a KO win over Ryan LaFlair in July. Bryce, go ahead.
Do you happen to know what weight class this is at?
170. Don't hold me to it.
Okay.
Yes, 170.
170, okay. Well, I think Alex Oliveira has looked really, really good since making that jump up from 155, and that's where I have winning this. And Yancy Medeiros, I'm very fuzzy on his fight against Eric Silva, but I kind of recall it. But I think Alex Oliveira is a really long, lanky, difficult guy to figure out, and I think he's going to win.
I also have Oliveira. I just think he's fought and beaten better quality opponents than Medeiros has. And like you said, he's looked very good since coming up from 55. He's kind of like an unlikable guy. I think he played up the illegal knees against Tim Means. And I feel like he's a guy that's kind of gotten borderline dirty at times in fights recently. But, yeah, I think I have him beating Medeiros in this one.
I have Oliveira. I have to look at his face to know which one because there's at least 200 Oliveiras in MMA.
Cowboy.
Oh, Cowboy?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I have him winning. I just wanted to say there's at least 200 Oliveiras in UFC.
At least. There's another one on this card.
Yeah.
I set my phone down for some reason. The next fight we have on this card is Paul Felder and Charles Oliveira. Paul Felder is 33 years old, 14-2 in his MMA career. He is on a 2-fight win streak, and his last one was a KO victory over Stevie Ray in July. Excuse me. Charles DuBronx Oliveira is 28 years old, 22-7-1 in his MMA career. He won his last fight, which was a submission over Will Brooks back in April. Bryce?
I got Paul Felder. First off, I want to say it's nice that Paul Felder is finally getting these top-tier guys. I remember watching him for a couple years probably now. I feel like he's been in the UFC just putting on great performances and not getting the caliber of opponents to match it. But I have him winning. I think his stand-up game is way too diverse for Oliveira to handle. And the only fight of Oliveira I can really remember is when he fought Anthony Pettis, and Pettis did whatever he wanted to on the ground against a guy that's supposed to be good at submissions.
Yeah. This is this was probably the toughest fight on the card to pick. I ended up picking Felder. Oliveira just hasn't really looked that great as of late. Not as great as he did. Like, he had a little bit of hype about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. And since then, he's kind of fallen apart a little bit, and his performances have dropped a little bit. So I'm going to go with Paul Felder in that one.
I got Paul, the Irish Dragon Felder. I just like that nickname.
It is a great nickname.
It's awesome.
It is.
I also wanted to say how much I like Paul Felder on commentary.
Yeah, he's been shockingly good. Like, I didn't even know who it was at first. But, yeah, he's really good on commentary. And I'm hoping he takes that into the octagon.
That's kind of one thing that I was like a little wary of picking him because of. Like, he's focusing on that a little more instead of actually fighting. But I just think he's better than Charles Oliveira, so I picked him anyway. The next fight on the we have to pick on the card is Michelle the Karate Hottie Watterson versus the Tiny Tornado. Tisha Torres Watterson is the former Invicta Atomweight champion. She is 31 years old, 15-5 in her MMA career. Her last fight was a loss to the current champion, and it was a submission loss in April to Rose Namajunas, obviously. Tisha Torres is 28 years old, 9-1 in her MMA career. Her only loss is also to the champion, Rose Namajunas, but she's won her last two, her most recent being a submission win over Juliana Lima in July. Bryce?
So when we originally made our picks, I picked Michelle Watterson because I couldn't remember a whole lot about Tisha Torres. And since then, I'd done my research. I looked at odds and things like that. And I don't know if you knew this, but Tisha Torres has a victory over Rose Namajunas.
Does she?
Oh,
an Invicta.
Yeah, because okay, she was calling for a trilogy fight after she wins this weekend.
Right.
And I think she's just a really... Like you said, she's 9-1. She's only lost to the current champion. I think that she's better than Michelle Watterson is at this point, and she's going to come away with a W.
I also have Torres. I think this is also a close one to pick because Watterson's ground game is very underrated, but I think Torres just kind of grinds out a decision in this one. If you are a betting person, hammer over 2.5 rounds in this fight. I'm telling you. But then again, I didn't have a very good weekend betting, so maybe don't listen to me either. Brenda?
I got Michelle to win this fight by... No, I'm not going to predict it. I think she's going to win.
All right. Brenda's going to watch. Next fight we have is Eddie Alvarez and Justin Gaethje. Eddie is the former UFC lightweight champion. 34 years old. He is 28-5-1 in his MMA career. His last fight was a no contest against Dustin Poirier in May. Justin Gaethje is the former World Series of Fighting champion. He's only 29 years old, 18-0 in his MMA career. His last fight was his UFC debut, a TKO win over Michael Johnson in July.
All I'm saying is if this fight is anything like his UFC debut, Justin Gaethje is going to headline a pay-per-view next. I guarantee it. The dude is electric. I see him knocking out Eddie Alvarez within two rounds.
Whoa. I also have Justin Gaethje. I think he's going to put some work on Eddie Alvarez's chin, which doesn't seem to be what it used to be. I think Gaethje wins by KO, and if you're a betting man, under 2.5 rounds in this one.
I got Alvarez. Maybe I just like the dog in him. I think he scraps it out, and I think it goes to decision.
Interesting. The next fight we have is Henry Cejudo, who is a former title challenger. He's 30 years old, 11-2 in his career. He won his last fight, a KO over Wilson Hayes. I forgot to put down Sergio's stats here, but Bryce, you can go ahead.
I got Henry Cejudo here. I think that, I mean, he knocked out Wilson Hayes, who, to be fair, is a BJJ guy, but... It shows that his stand-up is coming along, and he's still an Olympic gold medalist in wrestling. I think he's just got too many tools right now, and Sergio Pettis isn't far along enough yet. So that's why I got Cejudo.
Despite Sergio looking much better recently and putting together some impressive performances, I think Henry Cejudo is probably a little too much for him to handle right now. Cejudo's wrestling is something that Pettis hasn't really had to deal with yet, and I think Henry probably wins the decision in this one.
I think Henry is maybe a little too fast for Pettis, and I think he can work him better on the ground game, but I'm going to be a little biased to pick Pettis. He is on this little fight win streak, and I think he continues it and hopefully build up to maybe hire people in the contention, and hopefully I want to see him in a title fight, but Lord, who knows whether that's going to happen.
You were a little bit of a Cejudo fan there for a while, Bryce. Just curious who you want to win this one.
I honestly, I don't really mind who wins. If Cejudo wins, it's good. He'll probably then get the next shot at Demetrius, assuming it isn't TJ. But, I mean, I like watching Sergio Pettis. He's very exciting. I like both guys. it doesn't matter to me really who wins. But on a side note, I feel like it's pretty rare that we have anyone that has three different from anybody. And Brendan's had three straight that are different, I believe.
I'm also like 20 behind in picks.
Yeah,
so.
Brendan's. Yeah, that's fair.
This very well could be a title eliminator fight, too. The winner very well could end up facing Demetrius.
Yeah, assuming it isn't TJ next, which is, I think, the fight to make no matter what.
Just the way that division is, it wouldn't surprise me if the winner of this faces Demetrius next. The next fight, the co-main event, that is, Alistair Overeem and Francis Ngannou. Overeem is a former K-1 and Strikeforce champion. He's 37 years old, 43-15. That's just an MMA, not including his kickboxing record.
He's 10-4 in kickboxing, by the way. And if you want to know more about that, check out the Fighter Spotlight on UntitledMMA.com.
There you go, James Block. He's on a 2-fight win streak. His last fight was a split decision over Fabricio Werdum in July. And then his opponent, Francis Ngannou, is 31 years old, 10-1 in his MMA career. He's won his last 9. His last fight was a TKO of Andrei Arlovsky back in January. Doesn't seem like it was that long ago. But, Bryce?
So, I want to touch on Alistair Overeem. His last 8 losses, and this goes back to, I think, before he even entered the UFC, all of his last 8 losses were by knockout, so he has yet to lose by decision in, I think, like a decade or something like that. So if you want to beat him, you have to finish him. And I think that Francis Ngannou has those tools with his freakish power. I mean, look at the world record he had just set with the punching. That happened, and he lifted Andrei Arlovsky off his feet with that uppercut in January. Literally. I think Francis Ngannou finishes Alistair Overeem probably in the first round.
When I made my picks here, I wrote down Overeem, but I'm changing to Ngannou. Just like you said, although Overeem seems to be one of the best at avoiding getting hit, when he does get hit, it seems he gets shut off. And if Ngannou hits you, you're getting shut off anyways. So I don't think...
Exactly.
If Ngannou lands, it's not going to end well for Overeem. So I'm going to go ahead and pick Francis.
I'm going to do some simple addition here. Bad chin plus great power equals...
Death.
Nighttime, sleep, death, all that. So, yeah, I got Ngannou as well.
And the main event of the evening, Max Holloway, the current featherweight champion of the world. He's only 25 years old, 18-3, and on an 11-fight win streak. His last fight was a win over the guy he's fighting this weekend. He TKO'd Jose Aldo in June. And then Aldo is a former WEC champion, a former 2-time UFC champion, the most successful defenses in featherweight history. He's 26-3, and obviously his last fight was a loss to Max Holloway. Bryce?
I've gone back and forth a lot in my head about this, but ultimately I've settled on Max Holloway just because he did just beat a full camp Jose Aldo, and this is not full camp Jose Aldo. Even though, I mean, part of me thinks that what if Jose uses his kicks? There's a lot of variables here. I just think that Max Holloway is 25 and he's got a lot more to learn than Jose Aldo, who's probably at his peak.
Let me get my notes here. I've just rewatched the last fight about a week or over the weekend here. Aldo rocked Max in the middle of round one, which I do not remember after watching it the first time. Max didn't really start landing until about 2 minutes into the second round. He was a lot more comfortable in the second round than he was in the first. Aldo got dropped about 2 minutes into the third round, and then it was a firefight before that, but he got dropped about 2 minutes into the third round, and then Max kind of just put a beat down on him. Aldo did protest the stoppage, but he was getting beat up pretty bad. I also went back and forth on this one. I was going to pick Jose. I ended up writing down Max, and then I almost changed it, but I am going to go with Max. I think if Aldo utilizes his leg kicks, which is the best part of his game, and I'm shocked he didn't do it the first time. I don't think he threw a single leg kick.
He threw one, and he also cited an injury as a result. That's why he only threw one.
Okay. But, I mean, if he utilizes that, it could change the entire fight. But just the way Max put him away last time, it's kind of hard to pick Max. And like you said, Aldo's not on a full camp. And Max kind of got to hand-choose his opponent even for this one. So I'm going to go with Max.
I wanted to choose – well, no, I didn't want to, but at first I was going to choose Aldo. Like, the first thing you think of Aldo is his kicks. I thought he can kick Holloway and possibly lead to
a combo and knock him out or just build up his way to a decision. But I think his time is done from being a championship level fighter. Just after the Holloway fight, Connor fight, I just think that time's done. And now this is Holloway's time to be the champion. This is his prime. So this is going to be his
era.
Like I said, we're going to be at the card this weekend. So you can kind of keep tuned to our social media. I think we'll probably try and post some videos and stuff from.
Yeah, that would be from the arena. I'm definitely looking forward to that. So, how many events now have you been to, Buju? Because for those that don't know, this will be Brendan and I's second event. Our first event was UFC Chicago last summer, and we wrote about our first experience and what we thought and everything like that. But Buju, on the other hand, who's been an MMA fan longer than us, has been to a few more events.
I went to Carlos Condit and Martin Campman 2 in Indianapolis. I'm not sure on the year, like 2013, 2014, something like that. Okay. Then I went to UFC on Fox in Chicago, headlined by Dillashaw and Barao 2. Felder and Barbosa were also in that card, which was a fight.
That was a nuts fight.
And then, literally, because Paul Felder got spin kicked right in the old Dickaroonie. Then the fight I went to with you guys, which was in Chicago.
Holman Shevchenko.
Yeah, and then this one. So.
So four?
Yeah, and then that local fight that we went to that was hot garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to call out names, but it wasn't great.
It wasn't great. We'll have to try another regional show sometime, though.
Yeah. They had, like, so many amateur fights up top, and the pacing was horrible. So it just kind of killed the whole vibe. I would be willing to give it a shot again. I also didn't really care for the room that they had it in either.
Yeah, it wasn't the best area because you couldn't really see the cage very well because it was all flat.
It was a ballroom, so it was just they had like tables. Nobody cares. Anyways.
Right.
But like I said, I kind of want to take video and maybe like combine all of our videos into one thing to post on the site and on our YouTube and stuff after. So that's kind of something we'll have to look into doing. But
That would be really cool, like from our Snapchat feeds.
Yeah, and then something like that. Save our stories or whatever.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk. That would be really. I'm really excited about this because our last event it was just a UFC on Fox card, but this one, this is a pay per view. This is a big deal. There's a belt on the line, probably two title contender fights, mm-hmm. maybe even three.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm really excited about this weekend.
Yep. And does anybody else have anything else?
Nope.
Nope.
Bryce, hit him with it.
It's a wrap.
Fuck. That's not a wrap because we forgot to plug our social medias. At Untitled MMA on Twitter and Instagram. Untitled MMA on Facebook. The website is Untitled MMA. And then our YouTube is Untitled Sports Media. Untitled Sports. I think it's Untitled Sports Media. And then our SoundCloud is Untitled MMA. And if you're into more broad sports, Untitled... What did I say? If you're into a broader variety of sports, you can check out Untitled Sports on SoundCloud as well. Now, does anybody have anything else?
Nope. Negativo.
Now it's a wrap.